Well, Joshua chapter 8, if you look over to Joshua chapter 8. Now, last time we were together, we talked about the city of, I had it wrong, it's not Ai, even though, you know, it looks like it's Ai in the Bible, you know. It's actually just I, it's just I. I, like Scotty, you know, I captain, you know, or like your sailor buddies, you know. So the city of Ai, but it's spelled A-I, yeah, okay? And it's this little town. It's like Forney. You know, they're going to go take Forney. First of all, they took, what could they take? They could take Mesquite, you know, because, I mean, these towns weren't huge, you know, right? So they took, first of all, Jericho was kind of like Mesquite, you know, and then now they're going to go out to Forney, so, you know, and take Forney. You know, so they're going to go out there. And they talked about it, you remember, and they went up, and they went up, and all of a sudden the people in Forney just came out running after them and killed 36 of them. They only sent 3,000. You know, they figured, we're pretty good. We're doing all right. We got Jericho buttoned up, so I think I should be pretty easy. But what happened, of course, is one of their guys handled the goods, right? You remember that? The guy named Achan. Well, he was Achan when it was done, and because he was dead, they stoned him. Him, and they went out and got him, his gold, his silver, his wife and kids, his tent. They got the tent. They even got the tent, piled it all together, stoned them all, you know. And it wasn't good. Now, what was the? Now, are we into, you know, God getting people? Because we shouldn't, you know, God wanted to, you know, get them, you know, or something. No, I don't want God getting people because He might get me too, right? If it's all about the law, He's going to get me just as much as He would get anybody else. Boy, this is a nice crowd for 15 degrees. I'm just really proud of y'all. This is really powerful. Amen. Glory to God. We got two musicians. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bunch of singers. This is really good. So anyway, so back to Achan. So Achan got wiped out. But it was because, but before they went, he said, don't touch this accursed thing. In other words, just don't touch what God told him to do. I had grandson over, you know, and he would constantly be asking me, what, I said, okay, now don't touch that, don't touch that, don't touch that. Why? You ever heard that? Anybody, any parents here? Aunts and uncles? You know, why? Kids just love to ask why, you know, because they think they ought to be able to do whatever. Right. Chip, do you ever hear that? Little kid? Why? I mean, they say it boldly, too, as if, you know, they got some kind of right to I have a right to ask this question, you know. And you really don't. It's like if God says or Dad says, don't do that. It's like, yes, sir. Ain't no why involved. Why does not enter the equation. Amen? It's don't do that. Because I love you. That's the answer. The answer is because I love you. He said, don't take the accursed thing. Well, why would you take the accursed thing? Well, you look good. You remember what Achan said. I ended up preaching the last message because it's been a while. You don't remember what he said. I saw it. I coveted it. And I took it. I saw it. I coveted it. You had warning signs coming into this. First of all, you saw it. And it was calling to you. Then all of a sudden you agreed to the call. Therefore you coveted it. You know, because God said don't do it. And then I took it. I grabbed it and ran with it. And you ran with it and you buried it in your tent. You knew from the get-go this was not going to turn out well. And that could be anything these days. That could be anything that we look at, right? It's kind of like, well, I want one of those. Those look good. That's a peanut butter bar. I'm going to get a whole box of them and I'm going to eat them. Well, you know that's not going to turn out well. You know, you're going to throw up or you're going to get fat or, you know, all kinds of things. So you take stuff or you take stuff to yourself. It may not be like a thing. It may be just something you take to yourself. And again, I know you guys are good, lovely, wonderful, Pastor Jim, people who believe in the grace of God. God will give me grace. But that's not the point. The point is, don't take that thing because God said it is going to destroy you. Don't move on that. Don't grab that. So always listen to God, right? And so they got the sin out of the middle. You remember what happened was when Adam, I read a message. I read somebody commenting on this whole thing. They preached exactly the same thing I did last week. I mean, it's the same thing. It went all the same things. I did not copy that message. It's God spoke to somebody the same way. And so he's got all these things in set up in the world to keep you from harm. That's what the law was all about. The law was not arbitrary. The law was to keep you from harm. The law is because God loves you. Amen? And, our point in the grace of God, when teaching y'all here, is don't worry about sin. It's because the power of sin has been taken care of. Just worship God. Just come before God. And you will flee. You will flee the devil. You'll flee sin. You'll flee his recommendations, just like Jesus, said, thou shalt, the Bible says, worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. It's not that Jesus wasn't hungry, not that he didn't believe bread was good. He said, right now, in the presence of this enemy, I will not eat. I will not eat your bread, because your bread's got something in it, fentanyl, because you want me dead. I can't figure out why these guys want their customers dead. I just can't figure that out, The fentanyl guys, they're selling that stuff, So he comes in there, and God then shows Joshua. He says, there's sin in the camp. Joshua's crying about the defeat, right? 36 of our guys got killed, it's terrible. And that's like your kids and your grandkids. I mean, they're just crying about, their immediate dissatisfaction with the current situation, right? You ever done that? I'm crying about my dissatisfaction. God, where were you? You didn't show up. You didn't come through. And God said, dude, get up. There's sin in the camp. Well, I don't know what's wrong. Sin. Sin will destroy the walk that you're having with the Lord. So the point is not, stop sinning so God will like you. Absolutely not. God already likes you. That's why he's telling you to stop sinning. And he already empowered you by the Holy Ghost. Amen. To not sin. So here we are. In chapter 8, after they finish with Achan and the sin, right? So chapter 8 says, and the Lord said to Joshua, chapter 1, he said, fear not, neither be dismayed. Whoa, he said that back in chapter 1 before we ever got to Jericho. So here, after all this big episode, what did he tell Joshua to do? Fear not, neither be thou discouraged or disappointed. Amen? Amen. He said, when the punishment is done, when the episode is over of correction, do not fear. Don't fear who? Fear not God. Don't fear God. Don't fear circumstances. Don't fear two things. Don't fear God. Don't fear circumstances. Be not dismayed. Like this morning, Don't be dismayed. Now, I mean, there could be a fear and a dismay, trying to get out in 14 degrees when you got a warm little house to do, I thank God I had a mentor who never missed church. He didn't call, we're canceling church because, I don't know if I thank God for that or not, honestly. That means I got to get out and do this. I'm sure he's watching. Dave, did you go to church? It was too cold. I called it off. And look at this. Look at this result. Look at these people here. These people are full of faith. Amen. Now, Jack said burr yesterday, but that just meant he was looking forward to coming, you know. Said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So he says, fear not and be not dismayed. So he's, God always wants to move forward from the last episode. Amen. I say God wants to move forward from the last episode. He doesn't want you to sit and cry and whine. And yeah, that's right.
Come higher.
Come higher. That's what, yeah. Amen. That was the word today. Come up higher. Fear not, neither be you dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Which people? The people of war. Take them with you. Oh my gosh. Do you know we could take people of war with us? Who's the war? Who's the people of war? It's us. That's the people who are going to destroy the works of the devil and to make a way, room for the kingdom of God. Again, this isn't like Israel doesn't like Canaanites. This is God said, take the land. You have to get out of your mind that you're, these are bad stories about people who hurt people and you killed all the men and women and children. No, what they do is this is taking the land and getting evil out of the land. Amen? That's what this is about. So you have to read with the understanding and the mindset that you are following the will of God. You're following the will of God. Now, the will of God is, though, thou shalt not murder. So you can't murder in order to get this done. You can't, what you do to get this done is you love. You, in fact, are now walking in the steps of Jesus. Amen? So you have to look at the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament, which is love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? A guy who's hurting. You know, love your neighbor, you know. Yeah, well, God, I'm hurting. That really is irrelevant. Your job is to let God take care of your hurting because He's commanded you to what? Love your neighbor. All of your needs are supplied. Jesus' needs were supplied. His only job was to love His neighbor, and He did it to death. He did it unto death. Do we? Yes. Love one another until death. Because God will give you a blessed life here. You'll have a blessed life. But it's also so you can step out and bless somebody else. So again, fear not. So this is your daily attitude, your daily joy. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Bring all the ones that you can find. This would be like Gideon, right? Remember Gideon? So he says he's got 3,000 people. You got too many. Take all the ones that are afraid and just get rid of them first. Because he said, fear not. Take all those who are afraid. Get rid of them. Okay, that shut them down, way down. And then he said, okay, take them down to the creek. And everybody that laps like a dog with their face down, not looking up and paying attention, you know, send them home. The ones who are down low and cupping the water with their hand up to their mouth and looking, constantly looking, those are your men. Those are your people. The people who are constantly looking, right? So he said, God is reducing your army to the men of war of his own choosing, all right? Choose the people of war, take them with you, and arise and go to Ai. I'm trying to read this. This is in red writing. It's because God said it. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. So he has now given, promised, and declared that he has given to you this city. Well, they just ran us off. Remember, they ran them off and killed 36 of their guys, you know. Well, it's because the sin was in the camp. Now, sin has been purged. Obedience to the Lord. Lord, we're just being obedient. Doesn't mean you're... Now, in our world, it doesn't... And even in His world, that was a deliberate disobedience to God, you know. But that doesn't mean you don't sin. Even the Bible even talks about sins of omission, sins of, you know, you whacked somebody and they died and, ooh, didn't mean to do that, you know. So he's sin happens, but because it's us. But God will deliver you from the power of sin, right? He's already delivered you from the power of sin. And you shall do to Ai and her king as you did to Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof. So that's not only a command, it's a promise. You'll do to Ai as you did to the king of Ai as you did to the king of Jericho. So that's not only a command, it's a promise. Because God is with you. God is going up with you. And the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey to yourselves, and you shall set an ambush for the city behind it. So he also gives you a plan. God also gives you a plan. So you've gotten rid of sin, as far as you know. And God has given you a plan, all right? All right. So he's given you his city, his people, and his city, and his land. Praise God. You know, the things of God, the things of the earth belong to the kingdom of God, the people of God. Amen? Yep. Now, it's not that you're going to follow God and hear his voice and go do what he tells you to do. What does God actually want? Does he want kingdoms and lands now, or he wants people? God wants people, doesn't he? He wants a family. He wants people. He's sending you. Same way he sent Jesus. Same way he sent his disciples. First he sent the 12. Then he sent the 70. And then he sent the 120. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. He sent them on. And then that afternoon they had 3,000 in the book of Acts. Amen. So God is creating a family, just like this one here. Again, I'm just amazed at this. You know, it's just like it's 70 degrees outside. We just got people. All right. That was verse 2. And you should so only the spoil and the cattle you shall take as a prey and lay an ambush. That was the plan. All right. So Joshua arose and all the people of war, all the people, those people they took with him, all the people of war, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000. Remember the last time he took 3,000 against him. He took 3,000. And listen to this plan here. Okay, he said 30,000 mighty men of valor. Well, that sounds just like Gideon's guys, doesn't it? Right? Hail, mighty man of valor. And Ghost Gideon's going, who came in? Yeah, who? Who are you talking to? And he sent them away by night, all these mighty men of valor. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but you shall all be ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach to the city, and shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, when we came, they went upon the city the first time, you know, and here come the people, you know, they look like crazy people coming out of there. You know, and of course, we turned around and went, oh my gosh. Yeah, we ran, you know. So they came after you. So, and they will come out, and when they come out against us, because I'm sure they'll do just what they did before, as at the first, that we will flee before them. And then you shall rise up from the ambush, all you guys behind the city, and you shall seize upon the city. So while they're chasing us, you guys come up from behind them and get them and take the city. You'll seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it'll be that when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. Again.
There you go.
Do according to the commandment of the Lord. Do according to the commandment of the Lord. That means you. I think that means you have to hear God. Yes. I think that means you have to hear God.
Amen.
And like you said, you put these looker glasses on, and you know, don't look at the fuzzy out there, but look at the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. The Word of God will show you what to do. Not just in particular by a specific word, it may not. But you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Once you begin to learn how to hear the voice of God, you will begin to hear the voice of God. You know, people talk about, you know, we go according to the word. Yeah, you know, I mean, heck, you didn't even have that word before 500 years. How'd you 500 years ago? How'd you do it before that? Huh? When that book wasn't printed, but you couldn't have one. It's all written by hand and, you know, had it down to the synagogue. So what he's saying is that you had to have the Holy Spirit to hear his voice. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to hear the voice of God. Amen. I mean, read the Word of God to get his, learn how to hear him. Learn how what his voice sounds like. All right? All right. So he says, see, I have commanded you. And Joshua, verse 9, said, Joshua therefore sent them forth. And they went to lie at ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. So the leader of the people lodged among, stayed with them. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai, and all the people, even the people of the war that were with him, went up and drew near and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. And now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men, set them to lie in the ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west, Joshua went at that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early. So he saw them. The whole plan was, you're going to say, oh, there they are. They're trying it again. He saw it, the king saw it, and they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. He and all his people at a time appointed before the plain, but he knew not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all the Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. Oh my gosh! And they got up and ran away. And all the people that were in Ai called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Oh, the plan is happening. And there was not a man left in Ai on Bethel, Ai or Bethel, that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. So in other words, okay, well, they're chasing us, but now all of a sudden, it's okay. So they had them chasing after, and then they all of a sudden turned on them. It's because they had them all out of the city. They'd taken it. Okay, and when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai, and the other issued out of the city against them, so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they smote them. And they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive. Okay, here we go. Okay, verse, and the king of Ai they took alive, and it came to pass, this is verse 24, that when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, where they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. So everybody who was left in the city. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai, for Joshua drew not his hand. Excuse me. Drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear, so he did not draw his hand back until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city took he for a prey for themselves. So this time they took it. Before God said, don't take it, this time God said, take it. You know, you never can tell about God. You never can tell what he's going to tell you to do. And you can't quite figure it out. So stop. You know, people say, God, how come this is all happening? How come all this happened to me? You know, well, why not? First of all, I mean, you could have just died some other kind of way. You know, God is seeing you through every situation. And whatever happens in your life, whether you have special needs grandkids or a son who's got, takes a long time to come around to Jesus, or, you know, or you have kids die or family members who die. No matter what you have, give thanks and praise to God. Amen. Give thanks and praise to God at all times. I will bless the Lord when things are good. No, Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness, and he fills thy mouth with good things. Amen? Amen. Pastor Jim would teach more recently on Psalm 68:19. Bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. That's a good God.
Yeah.
You know what he does that? Well, I got all kinds of troubles. No, God is daily loading you with benefits. Look to what God has already done. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Command your soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. It's kind of like David encouraged himself in the Lord, right? And that's what you need to do. Will encouraged himself in the Lord. There were some bad days. But Will encouraged himself. Kathy encouraged herself in the Lord. That was hard. That was hard. Amen? You know, Jack, that was hard. There were hard times. Everybody in here, you know, those were hard days, you know. But encourage yourself in the Lord and fear not and do not be dismayed. God has given you the city and the land and the king.
It doesn't seem like it.
It's okay. You don't need to know the details. All you need to know is God has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, and this is just another day in the life, right? It's a day in the life of Israel. Going across Jordan, you know, going across, you know, taking Jericho, taking Ai. What other sin do you have that God has got you taking victory over? You have victory over every sin. You have victory over every sin. Amen. You know, well, what about me, brother? Yeah, you. Well, let me tell you my story. Okay, same answer. You know, you want to take all this time and tell me your long story about, you know, I can't help your story, but I can help you from right now. Bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord. At all times. His praise. He said, fear not. He said, even if you've sinned and you had to, and you took a beating for it. Even if you sinned and you something happened, things went wrong. That even at that, God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Do you remember where he said that? Where was he when he said that?
Captivity.
In captivity. In fact, how long were they going to stay there? 70 years. But he said, build houses, plant gardens, yep, and pray for the peace of that rotten city.
Hallelujah.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is what Jesus promised. And it doesn't come with money. Money might come, but it doesn't come with that. It comes with faith. Faith in God's love and his promise. Because he created you. He created you. He loves you. You're breathing because by him all things consist. You're breathing because you're a demonstration of the love of God.
Well, I don't see it.
Lord.
Because you want an answer. You want an answer on from a complaint. And we all do. There's always something that the devil comes to say, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. He said it to Jesus, right? You know, hey, well, look, you don't have any bread. Hey, look, you don't have any kingdoms. You're the Son of God. How come you don't have any kingdoms? You're here in this old crummy body just being, you were born in a stable. And you're God? Are you kidding me? You know, so the devil is going to constantly give you all kinds of reasons why God is not on your side, isn't he? You know, he's going to give you all kinds of reasons why God is not on your side, and he is a liar. Because God is always on your side. He created you. He birthed you. Like Pastor Jim, you know, they birthed Pastor Jim against all odds. You know, I mean, he's fighting, trying to keep from getting aborted. You know, kicking that hanger back, that coat hanger, and whatever they were doing. Yep. They're trying to put some juice down there, man, I remember one time he talked about he grabbed the coat hanger. No, he didn't. So that coat hanger company grabbed it. All right, keep going. Amen. Okay, this is verse 27 here of chapter 8. Of Joshua. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey for themselves according to the word of the Lord. When do you take a spoil? According to the word of the Lord. Otherwise you leave it there. You don't take everything. You don't take things all the time. Just when the Lord tells you. Amen. Well, God told me to take that. No, you got to hear the Lord. And Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation to this day. The king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. I'm getting through this for a reason, because I want you to see, okay, this is a big deal. They've conquered this city. They're taking the spoil. This is a big operation, right? It's a big military operation. And until evening, so they hanged him on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they take his carcass down from the tree, cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remains there to this day. Wow. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord. Stop. Joshua built an altar to the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal. Okay? And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man has lifted up iron. And they offered thereon and burned offerings to the Lord, and he sacrificed peace offerings. Now, I want you to look over at... Before we leave there, hang on a second.
Wow.
Okay, so after they took the city, then look, I want you to look over at Deuteronomy chapter 27. This is in the book of the law, okay? Look it over in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, page 324 in my Bible. In my Bible. Okay, now, Deuteronomy 27, okay, look at verse 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up great stones and plaster them with plaster. In other words, like bricks and plaster a wall. And you shall write upon them all the words of this law when you are passed over, that you may go into the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land that flows with milk and honey, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. Okay, remember, this is at the end of the battle of the city of Ai, which followed the battle of the victory over the city of Jericho. Here they are. They have crossed over the Jordan. They've taken these two cities, and this is where we are. Okay?
Wow.
Verse 4. Therefore it shall be when you have gone over Jordan that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal. So they have now reached Mount Ebal. This is a command that God gave them back in Deuteronomy chapter 27 to when they get there, here's what you do. So they have now arrived after having taken two cities. And here's what he's going to command them to do. Listen to what the command is. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord. Wasn't that verse 31? Yes. Verse 30 over there in Joshua chapter 8. Therefore you shall build the altar to the Lord, an altar of stones, and you shall not lift up any tool of iron upon them. Let's see what that say. Okay, verse 31, back over in Joshua 8, 31, it says, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of the Lord, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man lifted up any iron. There were no tools used to shape those rocks. They were just bare stones. And they offered thereon offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Okay, back over in 27, doing a little Bible study today. So verse 5 said, you shall not lift up any tool of iron upon them. So they did that. They were reading this instruction book right here. Verse 6, chapter 20, Deuteronomy 27, 6. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of whole stones, and you shall burn burnt offerings upon it to the Lord your God. And you shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. So on this plastered wall, they're writing the word of the Lord very clearly and able to be read. That's my words. And Moses and the priest, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day you are become the people of the Lord your God. You are become the people of the Lord your God. This is the, really, right here, this is the founding of Israel. This is the founding of the nation of Israel. When he is fulfilling Deuteronomy 27 over there in across the Jordan. This is the founding of the people of Israel. Here's our law. Here's our constitution. Here's the Lord our God. We are sacrificing. And right here at Mount Ebal, where God commanded us to be. Okay, verse 10. And you shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Sounds just like what he commanded them to do back before they went into Jericho. Is that don't take the accursed thing to yourself. Don't adopt the cursed thing. Don't say, oh, I saw it, I liked it, and I took it. Amen? That's not your prerogative. Your prerogative is to receive the gift that the Lord gives you. Amen? Same thing with our kids. Receive the thing that the Lord gave you. And rejoice. Give thanks. And let Him be your pleasure. Verse 11, there in, again, Deuteronomy 27. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are coming over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal. So these two mountains are right here. They've come to this place, and this is where the nation is founded. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben and Gad and Asher and Zebulun and Dan and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that makes any graven image or molten image or abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of a craftsman, and puts it in a secret place. And all the people of the Lord, people shall answer and say, Amen. And he goes on to continue to talk about those things that are cursed before the Lord right there. So this is, and now if we look back over here at Joshua, at the end of Joshua 8, where we said, and look at Joshua 8:31. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones. Sounds familiar now, right? Over which no man has lifted up any stone, and they offered thereon burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Same thing as they were told. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Verse 33, and all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side, on either side of the ark. The priests, the Levites, the whole gang was there, just as God commanded him to come. He commanded him back in Deuteronomy 27, when you get to Mount Ebal, this is the scenario. And they're doing it. They have arrived. Joshua knew it. He knew this is the place. We stop and worship God. God will give you the times and seasons, just like I talked about a few days ago, as we entered into the year, that he gave in Genesis chapter 1, he gave the sun and the moon for times and for seasons and for days and for years. So he is, God set up timing for himself and for you. And so as we enter into a new day, as we enter into a new week, as we enter into a new month, as we enter into a new year, these seasons are God-given seasons. We should always look to Him for the new season. You know, otherwise you'd kind of, well, I got saved back on July 4th, 1962, you know, and you've gone from there. No, God gave these seasons for you. So you will hear Him. You will celebrate Him. Amen? So He commanded this here. He commanded this, a season. When you reach Mount Ebal, stop, build an altar, worship Me. And when you worship God, it's not because He's like, come on, I need a little worship here. I'm feeling kind of neglected. No, worship is always for you. Not to you, but for you. Worship builds you up. Worship of God builds you up. Amen.
Amen?
But worship of God is like exercise. It builds you up, strengthens you. It's your exercise before the Lord is worship. Amen. So they're going to need to prepare for this next move, right? Okay, and here it says, verse 33, and all their elders and officers and their judges, everybody, top to bottom, everybody in the whole country, the top guys came to worship. If your elders and your leaders aren't worshiping along with you, get new ones. I'd say that of your elected officials too. If they're not worshiping God with you, get rid of them if it's in your power to do it, right? You know, God raises up and puts down. I don't bother voting. Well, no. Because it's in your hand to do good, you do it not, to you it's sin. If it's in your power to get rid of a Satanist making decisions for the people in your district, get rid of it.
Right.
Amen? Work hard to get rid of it. Work hard to get rid of it. I mean, it's in your hand to do it. Because God wants you to bless your neighbors. Amen? Get a guy in there who loves Jesus. We got people in some parts of Congress who love Jesus. They don't just say it, they do it. I mean, Iran, you can't do it. And you sure can do it here, glory to God, so far.
I don't believe in the elections.
That's okay. The local are the better. Maybe you're upset about, you know, the national election. Get busy on the local election. They're the ones who affect you more. All the Israel and their elders and their officers and their judges stood on this side and that side of the ark. And the priests and the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, even people who don't quite believe like you do, but they're among you. As he was that was, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them opposite Mount Gerizim and half of them opposite Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of, this is where they're standing, all right, as they're worshiping the Lord. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, back in Deuteronomy 27, that they should bless the people of Israel. So these people are up on these mountains, the leaders, to bless the people. And 34 says, afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings. This is a big conference of worship to establish the nation. That they should bless the people. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and with the strangers that were conversant with them.
That's the longest sermon ever.
Amen. That's a long sermon. That's right. You talking about this one or that one? That one right there, yeah. He read every word.
Oh,
wow. Amen. So they came together to read the word of God. And Joshua.
Is that Genesis too?
Pardon?
Would that include Genesis?
Oh, yeah.
So like the Torah?
Yeah.
So, wow,
might have read, been there a day or two, right?
Wow.
Okay, now.
That's like a 3-day, 4-day time.
It'd be a big deal.
I don't know.
Okay, now. Wow. So he says. Now I wanted to read quickly over here. Look over at Nehemiah chapter 8.
What page is that?
That is on page 769 in my Bible. Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, in Nehemiah, again, we're talking about reading the Word of God. Remember I talked about it at the very beginning. It's the Word of God that teaches you how to hear the voice of God. Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know how much rain is over there this season. Chapter 8, and all the people gathered themselves together. Well, let's do that. As one man into the street. That was before the water gate, and they spoke, water gate, oh man, new meaning. And they spoke to Ezra the scribe and to bring the book. They bring the book. Spoke to Ezra the scribe to bring the book before the congregation, both of men and women. Women? Really? Women got to hear the word of God. And all that could hear with an understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Bethiah and Shema and a bunch of other guys. And verse 5 said, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, just because he was standing up on that pulpit, it was way up high. That's probably why they built those up high pulpits back in, you know, back in those churches back in the old days. The guy climbed up there. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Lifting up their hands. Oh, they lifted their hands here. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And also Yeshua and Bani and his guys and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. 8:8. Nehemiah 8:8. It started with verse 1, and I'm reading down through verse 12. So the verses of Nehemiah 8:8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions for them who," you're familiar with that part, "them who have nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the Levites stilled all the people, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be you grieved or depressed." Don't be depressed. This is a great day. And all the people went their way to eat, to drink, and send portions, to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. And finally, Luke chapter 4. Verse 14. Now again, you know, we told the story of how you believe God, even when troubles come. This is because we're making our way through chapter 8 of Joshua, right? So we find it out. God says, don't be depressed. Same thing here. Fear not. Be not dismayed. For God has given you a plan. And they just brought them through the city of Ai. And then once they reached the place of Ebal, they fulfilled the word of God. They fulfilled the word of God in Deuteronomy 27 because they had arrived at a specified location that God said, build an altar right there and read the word of God to all the people. Because this is your nation. This is your nation. And then when they were returning to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, they read the law of God returning to the city. And then finally, here's Jesus beginning his ministry. 4:14. Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned, this is after his temptation, as we were discussing a minute ago, after his temptation in the desert with the devil, whom he defeated. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Well, that's you and me too. We're returned in the power of the Spirit. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region about. Is there a fame going out about you? Maybe you can start sharing the scriptures on Facebook or wherever you share things. Maybe their fame will go out because of you. Maybe where you work, who you work with, maybe there's a fame going out about you. A fame went out of him throughout all the region and round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, came back home, where he had been brought up. Would you dare do that? Go back home. Where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, so he was accustomed to going into the synagogue, you know, up until he was 30. He still went into the synagogue until he started his ministry. In Nazareth, he was always in the synagogue. He was well known. As was his custom, And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And was delivered. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth and said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Is Jesus then shared the word of the Lord as was his custom and declared of himself what the Bible said about him? Are we declaring what the Bible says about us to somebody else? Amen?
Praise the Lord.
These are the reasons. That's the reason I'm still here. That's the reason you're still here. I mean, not me here pastoring, me here just as a human being, a man of, who's been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, God created a nation on this day, and at specified place at Mount Ebal, he commanded them to read the Word of God to all the people and to begin to walk according to his plan. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what this is, and that's what Jesus did in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. He read the Word of God, and "The Lord has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives, open sight to the blind, and deliver them that are in trouble." Amen? So that's who we are. Thank the Lord. Daily, that's who we are. Amen. We don't look to, we're not trying to grab or gain something else. Yesterday I went and got a better internet plan. Well, why did I do that? Well, is that because I want to watch a bunch more television? No.
Cheaper.
It's cheaper. And I got more money to give to Jesus, more money to give to the gospel. Amen. So, you know, you do all these things daily. You go to the grocery store. You see people. And whether or not you grab them by the buttonhole and tell them about Jesus, certainly be an evidence of the love of God. Be an evidence of Jesus. Wherever, God, how can I be an evidence of you today? Not how can I get mine so, hey, I saw it, I wanted it, and I took it. See, that's what coveting is, right? Coveting is, I wanted it. Just because you saw it, oh, that's nice. I like Jack's hat, you know. And my grandpa used to have a hat like that. I'm getting closer to his hat. This may be dangerous.
So you can see it?
Yeah, I can see it better. Oh, now I'm starting to want it. See? But then my problem becomes when I took it. Now, my problem did not become when I took it. The problem was when I started wanting it. You know, all of a sudden my thought was not on Jesus. My thought was on that hat. So all my needs are supplied. I don't have to want anything. Amen? So God is so good, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody going to testify? Anybody have any? Say amen. Say, oh me.
Praise the Lord. I was thinking of how Tozer said the blessedness of possessing nothing.